Summer Psalms. And we'll look at a few psalms this summer, which seems to be a good thing to do. And today we're going to look at Psalm 86. Now, many of the psalms written by David express his convictions about God and tell us something that he believes about God. That God is real, that he's true, that he's faithful, that just expressing great attributes and great things about God. Now this becomes vitally important to us. Probably the most important thing about us is what we believe. And very directly, what we believe about God. What we believe determines our behavior and conduct. You act in a certain way because of what you believe. So our convictions about God become all important to us. And we must believe correctly about him in order to glorify him, in order to give him the glory due his holy name. So what we're going to do is all important. And really, we could say the title for this series is that God is awesome. And we ought to leave here this morning with that conviction in our heart. God is awesome. Let's say it together. God is awesome. And this psalm helps us to reveal that. Now, this psalm, 86, is very interesting. It's called a prayer of David, and different names for God are used in the psalm. I can't tell you exactly how many different names there are for God, but there are many. And in a moment, we'll look at some of them. In this psalm, David uses at least three basic Hebrew names for God that are very significant. Elohim, Jehovah, which is now Yahweh, and Adonai. We'll look at these. In your bulletin, you have a sheet where we have listed the names for God. These are not all of them, but they are most of them and include the important things. And I think it'll be good for us just to run through these without a lot of explanation, but just to become acquainted with the greatness and the fact that God is awesome. El means God, mighty, strong, and prominent, used 250 times in the Old Testament. Elohim means God. It's a plural noun meaning more than two, and occurs in Job 2,500 in the Old Testament 2,570 times. Now, when you pick up your Bible and read Genesis, in the beginning, you are reading, in the beginning, Elohim, a plural noun. When you read, let us make man in our image, you are reading about Elohim, the plural God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God didn't say, let us make man in my image. He said, let us make man in our image. So in the very beginning of the Bible, by the use of the name of God, Elohim, we are introduced to the Trinity. Third one, El Shaddai, means God Almighty or God All-Sufficient, 48 times in the Old Testament, 31 times in Job. Now that's been put to music and it's listed in the hymnal. Now understand that with these nouns there are no vowels. So Yahweh is, the A and the E are supplied. It would normally be written YHWH, or some would have it JHWH, and so Jehovah, Yahweh, and nobody really knows the exact pronunciation, but it is a name for God that is so sacred to the Jews that they would change it to Adonai and hardly ever say the word Jehovah or Yahweh. Now look at this. 6,823 times in the Old Testament. This is important because these are the names of God Himself. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha means the God who heals. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, and we sing about that from the Psalms, His banner over me. Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, which is a common term in Jewish life, Shalom. And then we have words for shepherd and judge. Jehovah Elohim, put together, Lord God. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Jehovah Sabaoth, which we sing about in Mighty Fortress, the Lord of Hosts. And in the Jewish language, the emphasis is always on the last syllable, on the last syllable. So that's the way to say those. El Elyon, Most High, on the back page. Abhir, Mighty One. Kadash, Holy One. Shaphat, Judge. El Roy, God of Seeing. Kana, Palet. Isha, Gaol. Magen, El Yaluth. Sadiq, Righteous One, El Alum, all these names for God, which are very significant and very important to us. Now, if you'll turn to Psalm 86, let's read that. I'll read the Psalm, and we'll look at the way the words are used in the Psalm. What is the title of this series? Yes?
Summer Psalms.
The subject? God is awesome. All right. Summer Psalm. God is awesome. And we're looking at convictions about God. What do you believe about God? Now, I like a person with convictions. They may not agree with me, but if a man has convictions, I like to talk to him. We can debate, we can go back and forth, but I like a person who stands for something and believes what he believes, even if he's wrong. Convictions are important. Now, some people would come at me or come at us about what we are believing, what we are saying. If they're coming at us to tell us, we believe in God Almighty, that he's really God, that we believe in a God who is sovereign, in a God who is absolutely sovereign, in a God who is absolutely in control of the whole universe, all that he has created, every person and every angel in it, that God is absolutely sovereign over salvation by his gracious election and has predestined some to heaven, and that he is the Lord God Almighty, then I say, if you're coming at me for that, I say thank you, praise you. That's my conviction. That's what I believe. And if you don't believe that, I think you've got the problem. So we can start debating. All right, Psalm 86. Bow down your ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life or my soul. I am holy, that is, I've been made holy. You are my God, or you are my Elohim. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be personal, be merciful to me, O Lord, or Yahweh, for I cry unto you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord Yahweh, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord Yahweh, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord Adonai, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God Elohim. Teach me your way, O Lord Adonai. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord Adonai, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God Elohim, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life, and you have not set you before them, and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God Adonai, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. O, turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant, and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because you, Lord Adonai, have helped me and comforted me. Now, in these first seven verses, we have David's prayer using mainly the word Adonai, meaning Elohim, the Mighty One, referring to God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he expresses these convictions about God. I ran across in my files a bulletin from Westminster Theological Seminary, an article written by a man named J. Gresham Machen. Now, this man has compiled a Greek textbook which is probably used more widely than any other for many, many years in Bible colleges and seminaries for people who study Greek. And that was the textbook that was used in my classes. Now, he's a theologian, and he has convictions about God, and he writes this way. If my idea of God were really mine, If it were one which I had evolved out of my own inner consciousness, I should attribute very little importance to it myself, and should certainly expect even less importance to be attributed to it by others. If God is merely a fact of human spirit experience, if theology is merely a branch of psychology, then I, for my part, shall cease to be interested in the subject at all. The only God about whom I can feel concern is one who has an objective existence, an existence independent of man. The idea of God, therefore, which I shall here endeavor to summarize, is simply the Christian idea. I have indeed been able to make it my own. I love it with all my heart, but I should not love it if I thought it had been discovered merely in the depths of my own soul. On the contrary, the very thing I love about it is that it comes to me with external authority, which I hold to be the authority of God Himself as He reveals it to us in the Scripture. So the convictions that men have, which come out of themselves, are of no value. The convictions we must have must come from the external authority of the Word of God. Now, David has such convictions. Bow down your ear to me, O Lord God Elohim, the sovereign God, the omnipotent God, who in the beginning was able to create. Now in verse 10, he uses another word for Elohim, as he says, Thou alone art God. You are the only Elohim. Now God makes that statement about himself in Isaiah. If you want to do something good for yourself, if we talked about blessing, which is a favor, a kindness. If you want a blessing, go home and read Isaiah 40 through 55. 15 chapters that take you to God. Change your life, change your day, change your week. Take you directly to Him, out of yourself, out of your circumstances, into the one who says, I alone am God. There is no other. There's none like me. This is what I do. David is saying, you alone are Elohim. So he's expressing convictions about God. Now in verse 14, he will use the term Elohim as he's seeking help. O God, the proud have risen against me, O God Elohim, and a mob of violent men have sought me. So he's looking for help. From where does he get this help? O Elohim, mighty God Almighty. They are risen against me, and I need your help. And then he's going to express in verse 15 a combination. And this is what you'll find in Hebrew language. Not just the single names for God, but sometimes they're combined. And in verse 15, he uses a combination, El, God, Adonai, the dependable great God. And what does he say about him in verse 15? But you, O Lord Adonai, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Now, if you have right convictions about God, when you go to Him, you'll go to Him in confidence. And when you're in trouble and the proud world rises against you and violent people who will accuse you and oppose you, where do you go? To the Lord God El Adonai, who is full of compassion, gracious, patient, full of mercy and truth. So David, bless his heart, gives us great convictions about God in these first uses of Elohim, the mighty God. Now he's going to direct us to another name about God, Jehovah Yahweh. And he uses this term in verse 3. Be merciful to me, O Lord Jehovah Yahweh. Be merciful to me. Because this is what he knows about God, that God is merciful to those who call upon him. In verse 5, he says, you are Lord Jehovah Yahweh. You are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. God is good. And we sing a song, God is so good. Right? God is so good, and we mean that. God is good. It's one of his attributes to be good. And God is kind. Now, God is good to the whole world in a benevolent way, in that the whole world breathes his air. The air belongs to him. He made the components that make air breathable, except some days in Los Angeles or Riverside, or where, not too great, but that's man's pollution. Breathe his air, drink his water. Now, water is a very important thing, isn't it? Whose idea was that? Food sustains. God's good to all. He's good. But he is only good to his elect in terms of salvation. He doesn't save everybody. He doesn't redeem everybody. He only redeems his elect. And he's good to them. Salvation's a good thing. That's great that God is good. Our problem with good is that we don't know what's good for us. And also, I wanted to delay getting into Romans 8:28 and going on till we're all back from vacation and we can all be here regularly to get through Romans 8:28 through Romans 9, the very heart of a royal Bible church doctrine of what we believe, what we stand for, why we're here. We could be in other churches. There are many other churches. And we are here because we have a certain doctrinal, theological conviction. And when we get to Romans 8:28 through 39, we're into the heart of it. It'll be important for all of us to be here regularly so we get the flow of that truth and not miss, so that we learn what's there. Now, the reason I got into that right now is because of the word good. In Romans 8:28, it says that God works all things together for what? For good. Well, then why do bad things happen? Or things that we think are bad? Trials, waters, floods, so on.
Those are all the things that work together.
Okay. God works it together for our good, for his glory. Because God is good. Now, in verse 6, David makes an appeal to this Yahweh, Jehovah God. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Now, the study of the names and the words for God become important to us. They give us convictions that drive us to prayer. Who are you going to call upon? Well, I don't know a politician today that I'd really go to in prayer. Or anybody else on this earth. No, it drives you to Elohim, to Jehovah, Yahweh. And David says that, O Lord, I am coming in prayer. And he has confidence that God is attending his prayer, that he cares, that he is good, full of compassion, and he will answer. And so we go in prayer because of our convictions, and we trust him. Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh, Adonai can be trusted. That's why this is so practical. Now, in the third place, beginning in verse 8, David turns to the term Adonai. In verse 8, among the gods there is none like you, O Lord Adonai. And we talked about that. There is none like Adonai. There's no other. There can't be, because he is God. And the thing that the term Adonai brings this thought. He is my master. I have a personal authority over me. And it's not other than the Lord God, Adonai. And he's speaking about him in verse 8. Verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord Adonai. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God Adonai, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. Oh, what a great heart David had for God. Teach me your way. One of the important things for every Christian is to be teachable. We really need to check our hearts. Are we teachable? Are we so proud and so arrogant as to think that we have arrived? We need to be humble before God and say to him, Lord, teach me your way. The world is trying to teach me their way. I have 1,000 influences here that bombard me every day. But, oh Lord, I want your way. And then he says to Adonai, I will praise you. I will praise you. What a purpose. What a great thing that comes from David. In verse 17, he says to the Lord Adonai, show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord Adonai, have helped me and comforted me. God leads his dear children along. He helps and comforts us. Well, David, we thank you for your psalm, for teaching us about Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh, Adonai, and we say with you that our God is unmatched. There's none like him, never can be, never will be. He alone will I worship. He alone has my loyalty and allegiance in worship. He is unmatched in deity, in power, in glory, in majesty. And we can say, our God is awesome. Say it with me. Our God is awesome. And the result of that is that we pray to Him, and that we trust Him, and that our life is lived under His authority. May God so impress this truth to our hearts that we will join with David in his convictions about God from Psalm 86. Heavenly Father, we worship You as Elohim, Jehovah Yahweh, Adonai. And we bow before You as David to call upon You for our needs and turn to no other. And we turn our hearts to trust You completely, just as we are this morning, just as we are in the present circumstances of our life, and count this as Your providence for us, which You will work for our good and for Your glory, and we rest our hearts in Elohim, in Jehovah, in Adonai, and thank You that our help and comfort comes from You. Lord, help us to worship You and You alone. Have no idols in our life, and accept Your authority, this objective authority in the Bible, as You give it to us to be our master. Thank You for each other and the privilege of worshiping together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.